Chapter 12. The moose shifter was much heavier than I'd anticipated, and the force from slamming into his muscular torso definitely didn't feel great. But my pain was irrelevant. He'd tried to attack my wife and her sister, and not only that, but he threatened the well-being of my children. I was not going to allow him to get away with it. We slammed down hard onto the cold stone floor, and my muscles cried out as they smacked against the hard surface. But my own comfort was of no concern to me. Food platters and goblets tumbled around us, but I was too distracted to pay them much attention.
"Get the fuck off me!"
the moose shifter growled in my ear as he thrashed and tried to buck beneath me. His thick fist remained wrapped around his dagger, and he was trying his best to get the blade close enough to harm me. But I had his arms pinned down to the ground, so his effort was futile. The torch-lit hall plunged into a flurry of commotion around us, and I briefly raised my eyes to see what was happening. Hawkshifters shouted and scurried in all directions, and my heart dropped when I realized the moose assailant wasn't alone in his attack. Nearly 15 other assassins were not far behind him, and each one armed with deadly weapons and sneers etched deep into their features. A few of Chief Fenrir's personal guards had snapped into place, and as I struggled to keep the moose pinned beneath me, they shuffled after the remaining attackers.
"Let go of me!"
the moose growled as he continued to struggle under my hold. "Sure, I'll let go," I retorted, and then I briefly released my hold on one of his arms, wound my free arm back, and slammed my fist right into his face. The moose man's bulbous nose crunched beneath my knuckles, and the shapeshifter let out a groan of pain as blood spurted out like a fountain's spray.
"Graf!"
I heard Aaron yell as the hot liquid misted my face, and I raised my gaze and searched the blur of moving bodies until I found her unmistakable orange hair. The mimic's eyes were enormous as they caught sight of the blood trail on my face, and she clutched Oliver tight against her chest as she tried to duck away from the running hawk shifters. The moose shifter lost consciousness and slumped to the ground beneath me. And once I was sure he wasn't going anywhere, I pulled myself off him and rose to my feet.
"Get yourselves and the children out of here!"
I yelled at my lover over the shouts around us.
"Take Syra, Freya, and Vala, and get back to the chamber if you can! We'll fend these fuckers off!"
Syra, Aaron, and Vala turned in the direction of the chamber, but Freya remained in place. The hawk shapeshifter's gold-flecked eyes smoldered with anger, and her fists shook at her side as she followed the movement around the room.
"Come on, Freya! We need to go!"
Syra insisted, but the hawk princess refused to move.
"I must stay!"
the blonde warrior shouted back at her friend.
"Take Lara with you! I must remain here with Griff."
"Freya, you need to get yourself out of here,"
I called out, but my blonde wife shook her head vigorously.
"I must protect my people," she cried. "I am not a coward, and I won't leave them when they need me."
"But
go without me,"
Freya shouted once more.
"Get my daughter and yourselves to safety. I must protect my people."
The strength of her tone was so powerful, Syra took Lara into her arms without further question. Vala squeezed in with them, and the Hawk Princess's scared expression made my anger toward Moose Clan surge even greater.
"Griff, I'll get them away from here!"
Rhetrea caught up to us, and the older Hawk Woman's golden brown eyes darted all around as they took in the scene around us.
"Hop in and help Fenrir! I'll get the girls to safety."
"Thank you," I called out to my mother-in-law. "Go as fast as you can, and don't stop for anything."
My women followed Rhetrea through the mess of shifters, and as they disappeared out of the hall, I fought the urge to run after them. I hated being separated from my family in a moment like this, but the children's safety was the most important thing. Rhetrea would get them to safety. For now, I had to focus on neutralizing the enemy. Tears sprang from Freya's eyes as Lara and Syra drifted away, and her face betrayed the torn feeling she must have been experiencing. I knew my hawk wife well, and towing the line between dutiful warrior princess and mother was likely a huge struggle for her. Her sadness was disrupted when another moose shifter flung himself toward her. But before I could even make a move toward him, the warrior princess let out a shrill battle cry. Then she instinctively grew her razor-sharp hawk talons and slashed right into the moose shifter as if he were made of butter rather than flesh and bone. Blood spurted all over the blonde shapeshifter and covered her with the slick ruby sheen, and the moose collapsed to the ground immediately after. My eyebrows shot skyward as I surveyed the carnage, and I'd never felt so proud and admittedly turned on by my shapeshifting wife. Freya was an absolute badass, and it would do me well to never forget it. Wow, I breathed.
I'm going to go and help the guards over there.
Freya pointed over at a group of moose warriors who were harassing a group of hawk women.
Stand your ground, my husband.
Freya stretched her arms out, and after a quick blur, her golden brown wings appeared. The princess pumped them thrice, and then took off into the air and flew over to the group of moose men. A shifter came right at me, and I reached down to my side and unsheathed my father's dagger, just in time to strike. The blade ripped right through the moose's throat before he could utter a single word, and I took pleasure in kicking his limp body off to the side. Good riddance, I snarled down at him. I wouldn't be able to fend off all of the moose invaders with just my dagger alone, so I reached into my jacket pocket and retrieved the one essence crystal I'd kept on my person. Hawk Clan didn't like monsters. They referred to them as shadow beasts and kept their distance as much as possible, and normally I would have respected their wishes and kept my summons far away from their dwelling. But this situation was different. I crushed the fang-shaped crystal in my palm, and once the plume of smoke disappeared, my saber-toothed cat familiar appeared before me at his full height.
Holy shit!
Dio uttered as his large yellow eyes took in the sight of the hawk and moose struggle.
This is quite the dinner party, boss!
Yeah, it didn't quite go according to plan, I replied to my tawny-furred summons. I'm going to need your help, buddy. We need to protect Hawk Clan and get these moose out of here.
It's been a while since I've enjoyed a good moose snack, Dio purred,
and he licked his enormous chops as he zeroed in on a pair of moose warriors.
Those guys are looking especially delicious.
Make sure to steer clear of the hawks and only go after the moose, I reminded him. There's a lot happening, and I don't want anyone from Hawk Clan to get hurt in the scuffle.
Of course.
Dio insisted as if I were out of my mind.
I love Freya, and she's a hawk, so I know the hawks are our friends. Those moose fuckers, though, they're going to make a tasty meal.
Griff, what is that beast doing here?
I heard Fenrir shout at me from across the hall. I scanned the flurry of movement until I located the tall hawk warrior, and I quickly found him mid-attack. He had a moose in his clutch, and he snapped his neck like it was nothing, right as I watched with awe. Then the hawk leader cast the body aside, and he pushed his way through the throng of people to join my side.
That was badass, sir, I complimented him.
They threatened my daughters,
Fenrir replied, and malice dripped from his tongue.
Normally, I would simply take these invaders as prisoners, but threatening my children crosses the line.
You're a good father, I said. Fenrir didn't acknowledge my statement, and instead fixed his dark eyes on Dio.
I suppose I can make an exception to my rule for your creature,
he grunted.
Is your shadow beast as deadly as he appears?
Deadlier, I grinned. After a quick incline of my head, Dio flexed his impressive claws and then plunged right into the mess of moose shifters. The tawny monster's mighty roar echoed through the hall, and I watched with pride as he took down any opponents in his path. All it took was one swipe of his enormous paw to knock a moose warrior down, and I watched with a sick sort of pleasure as his curved fangs impaled a pair of moose men right through their chests.
Greif, look out!
Fenrir's voice rang out as one of the moose men lurched toward me. The hawk leader let out a chill-inducing screech and then launched himself at one of the moose men, and his dark eyes were ablaze with fury as he grew his talons and slashed deep into the shapeshifter's torso. The moose let out a scream of terror, and blood gurgled up from his throat before he fell to the stone ground. His body made a wet thud as it made contact, and Fenrir shook with anger as he glared down at the dead shifter.
Thanks!
I called out to the hawk chief, and my heart raced with adrenaline in my chest as I threw myself back into the fray. The fight went on for a bit longer, and finally, only three shapeshifters remained. They stood with their daggers brandished, and while their similarly dark eyes were wild, their shoulders held a hint of exhaustion. Each of the shifters' teeth were bared as they stared us down, but between Fenrir, Freya, the hawk guards, and I, they were completely surrounded and had nowhere to go.
Execute them all!
Fenrir growled decisively, and then he fixed his gaze on the one who stood in the middle of the trio.
Except for you. Greif, bring this man to his feet. Before he meets his end, he will give us answers about his origins.
The hawk guards moved swiftly, and before the moose shifters could react, they swooped in and used their razor-sharp talons to cut the pair down. The remaining shifter let out a blood-curdling cry of anguish, and I took advantage of his distress and snuck up behind him. I wrapped my arm around his neck and trapped him in a chokehold. After a moment or two of struggling, the shifter's knees gave way, and I removed my hold around him. The moose man fell to the ground and sputtered as he attempted to catch his breath.
You'd better start talking,
I threatened him, and held my father's dagger to his throat.
I'd sooner die than betray my clan,
the moose hissed. Me killing you right now would be a mercy you don't deserve, I snarled at him.
You're going to listen to Chief Fenrir and give him whatever information he requests. And if I don't,
the moose mocked me,
then I'll find a fate far worse than death for you, I replied,
and my head pounded as the bloodlust flooded through me.
I can be pretty fucking creative when I want to be.
My lips curled into a snarl. And although the moose man was much bulkier than I, the venom of my tone seemed to intimidate him. He gulped and then gave a reluctant nod of affirmation.
Who sent you?
Fenrir began the interrogation.
Moose Clan no longer occupies their old territory, so where have you come from?
The moose shifter deliberated on his response, and I had no patience for it.
Answer him!
I growled.
Moose Clan may no longer have Skara, but we do have territory elsewhere,
the shifter finally confessed.
Where?
Fenrir demanded.
Where have you been hiding out after all this time?
Moose Clan numbers have dwindled, but those who remain occupy land in each of the territories,
the moose man answered the hawk leader.
Bear, wolf, snow leopard, hawk! They're everywhere.
How many of you remain?
Fenrir pressed.
You claim you occupy land in each of the territories, but how many of you are hidden away?
50,
the moose man finally answered after a few minutes.
At least the number was 50 until tonight.
You made it sound as if there was an armada. I scoffed at the shapeshifter.
50 is nothing to balk at,
the moose man replied with narrowed eyes. What even brought you here in the first place? I demanded. Why did you attempt to kill my wife and her sister tonight, of all nights? Was it a matter of convenience?
Your wife,
the moose repeated back to me with narrowed dark eyes.
I don't care about her relation to you. I was sent to eradicate the royal family that pretends to care about unity.
So you're rebels, I scoffed. That's a little pathetic, isn't it? And besides, what are you fighting against? Peace? Unity? Your people tried to rise up against the other clans and you failed. It's about time you accepted your defeat.
Fuck the other clans.
The shifter spat on the ground.
Moose Clan will never make peace with hawks, bears, wolves, or snow leopards. We bow to no man.
You're pathetic, I hissed at the moose man. Attacking women isn't powerful, it's weak. Only the most cowardly of men would resort to something as low as harming a woman, especially one who's not fully yet grown.
Dio stepped over to my side, and the enormous saber-toothed tiger let out a low growl that made the moose man tremble.
Fine, fine, I answer,
the shifter insisted with raised palms. His dark eyes remained on Dio's curved fangs and refused to move away from them.
We caught wind of a celebration. The Princess Freya had returned with her daughter, and the entire ruling family of Hawklan was coming together to celebrate their return. When the princesses left the territories for a foreign land, we knew it would be a while before they returned. The plan was to kill the princesses to wound Chief Fenrir. It is because of him our clan can no longer live as they once did. So we wanted to take our revenge by killing his beloved daughters in the same way his people killed ours.
Well, you certainly fucked that up, didn't you? I growled, and my anger swathed me in a warmth that wouldn't fade.
I was sent to eradicate the royal family who pretends to care about unity while my people continues to suffer.
The shapeshifter repeated.
Hawklan has stolen everything from us.
The last time I checked, your people were the ones who were enslaving and killing others. I narrowed my eyes at the moose man. You kidnapped the Hawk Queen and held her hostage for so many years she was presumed dead. And I couldn't even count the hundreds of other shapeshifters that have met their demise at your hands. Moose Clan doesn't get to cry about injustice after they spent so many years as the perpetrators.
Fuck you, the Moose Man shouted boldly. What do you even know about the territories? You aren't even a shapeshifter. I can hear it in your accent and see it in your face.
Do you even know who the fuck I am? I asked him as my temper swelled.
You'd be wise to remember this face.
I'm the one who commands the Shadow Beasts. I'm the one who saw to it that Skara was destroyed.
I am the husband of the warrior Princess Freya and the commander of 7 goddesses who would gladly devour you at my instruction.
You're the Beastmaker?
The Moose Man realized. I was surprised to hear the shapeshifter refer to me by that particular title, and it took all of my willpower to keep my face even. How did the Moose Man even know the word Beastmaker in the first place? Freya had called me Beastmaker when we first met since she witnessed me summoning monsters, but this man had called me the Beastmaker. Had he picked the title up from an outside force? And if so, how far had my reputation spread for that to be possible? I am, I flashed him my cruelest grin as I refocused, and it'd be best for you to remember that. You don't get to fuck with me or my family and walk away unscathed. You and the rest of your clan are fools for crossing us. And you won't get away with it.
I...
the moose stammered, but his voice caught in his throat as he trembled.
I think I've heard enough,
Fenrir commanded, and then he looked to 2 of the hawk guards who flanked him.
Take this prisoner to the dungeons. I shall need to gather the other chiefs to decide his fate.
The hawk guards nodded at the chief, crossed over to where I stood, and grasped the moose shifter in their powerful arms. The moose man tried to shimmy out of their clutches, but the overly muscular hawk guards were far too strong to evade. As the guards hauled away the assailant, I fought hard to bring my anger levels down. I was so wound up, my vision was tinged in red, and if I caught a glance of myself in the mirror, I knew my eyes would look absolutely crazed. It was difficult to remain calm. The moose shifters had not only threatened me, but they'd threatened my family as well. And if I hadn't reacted as quickly as I did, I didn't even want to think about what could have happened. My eyes darted over to Freya, and the Hawk Princess's lower lip trembled. She was having just as much difficulty remaining calm too. Not that I could blame her at all. She clearly needed me. So I took a breath and crossed over to her.
Griff,
she whispered, and I swept her into my arms. My wife's entire body shook, and my heart felt like it was going to break. With all of her bravery, sometimes it was easy to forget the Hawk Princess was just as vulnerable as any other woman, and it hurt me deeply to know how scared she was. "I'm right here," I assured her as she leaned into me. "I'm right here."
"Grief, I think you should take Freya back to your chamber while we clean up this mess,"
Fenrir advised me.
"We have everything under control here. So go and rejoin your other women and try to calm yourselves."
I couldn't bring myself to reply to the chief, so instead, I offered him a firm nod over Freya's shoulder. "I'm going to lift you up, okay?" I whispered in her ear.
"I can walk,"
Freya tried to insist, but her quivering legs said otherwise. "I got you." I gently maneuvered her into my arms, and my wife wrapped her arms around my neck and rested her cheek against my chest without further argument.
"We shall speak in the morning,"
Fenrir announced. "Good night, sir," I replied, and then I carried Freya through the hall. The remaining hawk shapeshifters parted to form a walkway, and many offered their encouragement or soft apologies as we passed by. Freya turned her face so she could have a bit more privacy, and I could feel my shirt grow damp from her tears. "It's okay," I whispered down to her. "We're almost there." As we continued on, I heard padded footsteps behind me, and I glanced over my shoulder to see Dio had shrunk down to the size of a house cat, so he could follow us more easily. I managed to reach the chamber quickly, and when I stepped inside, I was greeted by the shocked faces of Syra and Aaron.
"Make her, Griff. Is she—"
"She's okay," I assured Aaron. "I think she's just in shock."
"Let's get her to the bedroom,"
Syra said, and the dark-skinned mage hurried us over to the room. Aaron pulled the corner of the comforter and swept it off to the side, while Syra moved a few decorative pillows out of the way. "Where are Rhaetreia and Vala?" I asked as I peered around the room. Much to my surprise, Freya's mother and sister were nowhere to be found.
"Rhaetreia took Vala back to her chambers," Syra explained. "At least that's what I understood anyway. I could only make out a few words."
"That's probably the safest place they could be," I assessed. Once the bed was clear, I carried Freya through the doorway and then carefully placed her on the mattress. The Hawk Princess curled up into a ball on her side, and I sat down on the edge of the bed.
"I'll go get some water and get some tea started," Syra decided. "Aaron, will you come and help me?"
"Absolutely,"
the orange-haired mimic nodded, and after she gave Freya one last glance, she left the room with the curly-haired summoner. Once we were completely alone, I reached out to rest my hand on Freya's leg. "Freya," I prompted her, "talk to me." The shapeshifter wife sank further into herself and didn't respond. Her brown eyes were slightly glazed and unfocused, and I started to feel nervous. Still, I forced myself to be patient, and I quietly waited for Freya to open up to me.
"I feel as if I failed,"
Freya finally whispered. "What do you mean?" I asked her. "We defeated the Moose Clan invaders, and your father has one in custody right now. All things considered, I'd say we did really well tonight." Freya pulled herself up and ran a hand through her tousled blonde hair.
"I was not as strong as I wanted to be. I felt distracted. All I could think about was Lara and if she was okay. I owed it to my people to keep them safe, and yet many were injured by those Moose Clan traitors."
"Freya, you did all you could," I assured her. "Don't beat yourself up over this. This was a surprise attack. And even with that in mind, you stayed behind to keep your people safe. Don't blame yourself for anything that happened." Freya took a long, deep breath, and we sat there in silence for a moment or two.
"Will you hold me?"
Freya asked me quietly after a few minutes passed.
"I don't think I want to talk about this anymore. I just want to feel your strong arms around me."
"Of course," I replied. I kicked off my shoes, peeled off my jacket, and then crawled right into bed with Freya.
I wrapped myself around her and then I pulled her in so tightly, it was as if our bodies were a pair of puzzle pieces. I held her tenderly in my arms until we drifted off into sleep. At one point in the middle of the night, the mattress shifted on either side of me, and when I briefly opened my eyes, I saw Syra and Aaron get into bed with us. I welcomed my other women with a smile, and soon we became our familiar and comfortable tangle of bodies. The morning came earlier than I wanted it to, and I awoke to Freya still curled up in my arms. I planted a soft kiss at her temple, and the warrior princess stirred beneath me. "Good morning," I greeted her in a whisper. My eyes were still blurry from sleep, and I couldn't yet tell if Syra or Aaron were awake. I didn't want to rouse them before they were ready. We'd all had quite the eventful evening, and I didn't want to deprive anyone of their much-needed rest.
"Good morning,"
Freya murmured to me as she slowly sat up and stretched her arms in the air. The princess's mane of dark blonde hair was especially wild this morning, but it suited the warrior shapeshifter perfectly. Anyone else would have looked positively feral with all of that tangled hair, but on Freya, it was incredibly sexy. We laid in each other's arms for about half an hour until the others began to stir.
"Well, don't you two look cozy?"
Syra noted our closeness with a smirk as she blinked her dark chocolate eyes rapidly. "Don't be too jealous," I teased her right back. "You should come and join us."
"I'm never jealous,"
my curly-haired wife replied.
"I like seeing you with my fellow sister wives. But if I'd known there was going to be a cuddle pile, I would have moved closer even sooner."
As soon as the babies heard us speak, they began to wake up, and immediately I heard Lara erupt into tears. Freya swiftly stood from the bed and crossed over to our daughter's crib in the other room. I followed suit and watched the hawk princess sweep the golden-eyed baby into her arms. Freya began to rock her and gently whispered words in the language of the clans to her. And within moments, Lara settled down, and the baby reached up and grabbed a strand of Freya's hair. Our daughter tugged on it gently, and then she let go and relaxed in my blonde wife's arms. Freya hugged Lara tenderly to her chest and planted a soft kiss on her forehead. The moment was so precious, I almost felt as if I were intruding, but Freya raised her golden brown eyes to look over at me with an even more loving gaze.
"Thank you for comforting me last night," she said softly. "I appreciate support, my mate. It means the world to me that I can rely on you in times of need."
"That's what I'm here for," I reminded her. "We're a family, and I'll always be there for you." I crossed over to her and Lara and pulled the pair in for a hug. And as we embraced, Syra and Aaron snuck into the room and joined our affectionate moment. It was nice to know that no matter how terrible things got, we were always there for one another. We spent the rest of the day relaxing and taking things easy. I'd offered to meet with Fenrir to discuss the next move against the Moose Clan rebels, but the Hawk Chief insisted I spend my time comforting my women.
"My guards are patrolling the island right now,"
my father-in-law insisted.
"Should something come up, I'll find you. But until then, take some time with your family. Rhaetreia and Vala are doing the same in their own chambers, and I think everyone needs time to settle down from the madness."
"Then that's what I'll do," I nodded. "Let me know if there's anything you need, sir." As I walked from the Hawk Chief's dwelling to our designated chamber, I decided to take a tour and traverse the rope bridges to the upper levels, where Hawk Clan had their shops set up. I wanted to surprise my women with some nice flowers. It wouldn't change anything that had happened last night, but it would at least help brighten up the room a bit. My women deserved a bit of cheer, and I wanted to improve their spirits as much as possible. After I paid for 3 bouquets of wild flowers, I made my way back down to the first floor. I strolled into the chamber, only to find the children had already been put to bed. I scanned the area, but there were no traces of my women anywhere. Where would they have gone? My question was answered when I noticed the door to the bedroom was closed. So I set the flowers down on an empty table, crossed the stone chamber, and knocked on the door. I heard a round of giggles on the other side, and then knocked again.
"Come in, Griff,"
I heard Aaron say. I turned the knob and opened the door to find my women in bed. Each of the beauties wore thin shift dresses, and my eyebrows shot skyward as I took in the sight.
What have we here?
I chuckled as I stepped into the room. I quietly closed the door behind me, and when I turned back around, I was met with three seductive smiles.
Well, it's about time you joined us, Syra purred.